Malika Ufkir has spent most of her life as a prisoner. The first few years she lived in King Hassan's court as an adopted companion of his daughters. Her surroundings were opulent, to be sure, but she was still a kind of captive. In 1972, when Malika Ufkir was 19, her father, a general who was close to the king, was arrested and assassinated after a failed coup. Malika Ufkir, her mother, and five brothers and sisters were sent to a succession of prisons for the next 24 years. By turns, they were savaged, starved, separated, and humiliated. They had to battle rats for food and stave off the rapacious attentions of guards. Boredom and loneliness could be as brutal as the deprivation. Eventually, the Ufkir children made an audacious escape that dazzled much of the world. They dug a tunnel out of their prison with spoons, a sardine can lid, and their bare hands. But they were recaptured after just 5 days and couldn't leave Morocco until 1996. They'd been prisoners for a full generation. Malika Ufkir's memoir of her life story has already been a bestseller in France. It's just now been published in the United States. It's called Stolen Lives, 20 Years in a Desert Jail. Malika Ufkir joins us from New York. Ms. Ufkir, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
What does that past life seem to you now?
Suffer, maybe. But it was also a great experience, you know. It learns me how means life, freedom, dignity, tolerance, and humility.
When they first showed up to take you to prison, you thought it might be just for a few days?
Yes, they said us it was only for 2 weeks, but I never believed that.
I hope you don't mind, but I think it's probably necessary for the people in our audience to hear how you had to live for 24 years. For example, food.
Hunger, maybe it's the worst thing, you know, because you lose your dignity and your humanity. And during all this year, thinking only about food, dreaming about food, it's terrible.
They used to give you food that, even when they did feed you, sometimes it was covered with cockroach droppings and insects, wasn't it?
Yes, because we were living with rats and mouses and scorpions. We were saved by something very important, you know, imagination. You eat a piece of bread, you are dreaming about other food. So most of time, the piece of bread was like an ice cream or another food.
Most of your brothers and sisters grew up in prison. That's all they knew, wasn't it?
Yes. Maybe that's why now living free, it's also a very difficult experience for us.
Yeah.
Because you don't feel really normal people. Also, now we must learn everything. Also, everything is very fast for us.
I wonder if over the years you were able to figure out in your own mind why you and your family were tortured, but not just killed.
It's very simple, you know. Maybe for the king to have this kind of vengeance, it's more jouissif in French.
For the king to have this kind of vengeance, it was more satisfying?
Yeah, yeah.
At one point, your little brother tried to kill himself.
Yes, when he was only 7 years. He stole the pills of my sister Miriam, who is epileptic. And because he was hearing us always talking about our feeling, he decided to kill himself. And when he wake up, we ask him, why you do that? His answer was terrible, because I want you to be free, and maybe if I kill myself, they maybe do something for you.
How long did it take you to dig the tunnel that brought you out?
3 months. We dug the tunnel every night, because we must be very careful because of the noise and because of the guards. And I'm sure at this moment we live a miracle because we didn't know where we are. Mm-hmm. And we worked until 4 o'clock in the morning. And we discovered where we were, in what place. We were only a few kilometers from Casablanca. And we were looking for friends. But, you know, we didn't realize that after 15 years, our friends were not still young, and they get married, and they have their own life, and they change their place. So I went to see a friend. And when I came in the house and I met him, he refused to recognize me.
Yeah, he was scared of you, I guess, wasn't he?
Yes, like every Moroccan, you know.
You eventually were recaptured.
Yes, after 5 days in Tangier. And after 2 months, we sent a lot of letters to the king asking him to let us go out from the country to Canada. Mm-hmm. And he decided to send us to Marrakesh. And we spent there 4.5 years again without freedom, but we had television and books.
Yeah.
But for us, it was also prison, you know.
Your escape dazzled the French-speaking world in many ways because it appeared in the press. But it still took several years for you to finally gain freedom.
Yes, 5 years. In 1996, they gave us back our passport and we left the country for France.
Ms. Ofkir, during those 24 years, were there times when you assumed you would never get out of prison?
Of course. But you need to hope, you know. Mm-hmm. Without hope, you cannot survive.
At one point, you and your family wrote a letter to King Hassan in your own blood.
Yes, we tried maybe to make him more human.
Yeah.
And we were still young at this moment, with a lot of illusion, you know. Mm-hmm. And we tried to sign with our blood, telling him why. And he must do something and stop everything. And the simple answer of the king was to move us from the prison we were to another, mm-hmm. who was exactly like a concentration camp,
yeah.
where we were in cells, separated, and not allowed to go out during 8 years with no light, no books, nothing. Only maybe our tears to cry.
Ms. Ofkir, it seems to me that you are entitled to an expert opinion on this. How can human beings be persuaded to be that cruel?
Still now it's a mystery for me. And there is no answer for that. But too much power makes you really crazy.
You are in your mid-40s now.
Yeah.
Married.
Yeah.
Are there aspects of your life every day that remind you of when you were a prisoner?
I think everything, because I feel still now a prisoner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I don't have hope of future, but I'm still living in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to accept that. Prison makes you different.
Mm-hmm.
Different doesn't mean better than everybody, but you are different. And living in a big town where everybody is busy, looking after work, after success, after money,
mm-hmm.
it's too much for me. And I think the better is helping other people like me. If I can do that, it's going to be a very big satisfaction.
People like you, meaning political prisoners around the world?
Yes, to tell them you have to fight, you have to be strong, you have to believe in you. Because the most beautiful thing for me in through this experience is knowing myself, who I am. And maybe when you know who you are, and you have enough time to know who you are, you can understand other. Mm-hmm.
During the time you were in prison, from 1972 to the mid-1990s, there were tens of thousands of people from the United States, France, and England who visited Morocco and said, "My, what a beautiful country. What wonderful people." And they went to glorious places and they spent money there and they brought back art and they had a wonderful time. All the while, you and your brothers and sisters and mother were in prison.
Yes, but I hope foreign people still are going to visit this country. Mm-hmm. Because it's a beautiful country and it's beautiful people there in Morocco. And my country is not responsible about what's happened. You know, I love my country and I'm very proud to be Moroccan. Mm-hmm. And maybe for me, all Moroccan people were the prisoner of the King Hassan, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people would get out of prison, move to France, get married, pick up a new life, and never want to think about this again. Why did you put yourself through this to write the book?
It's my big revenge to say the truth, not only for me, but for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah. Who maybe didn't live to write a book.
Yes, exactly.
Ms. Ofkir, thank you so much for speaking to us for so long.
Thank you very much.
Malika Ofkir, her book, Stolen Lives, 20 Years in a Desert Jail, has now been published in the United States.